Hi, I'm Pat McNamara, and I have an Evo. Now get ready to have your face melted by the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode number 46 for Thursday, January 13th, 2011. We have survived CES, but just barely. And, well, we're not going to really tell those stories, but suffice it to say, we had a good time. I am Phil Nickinson. I am your host for this podcast and editor of AndroidCentral.com. And with me, as every week, is Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Welcome!
And Mickey Papillon, a.k.a. the Cell Phone Junkie.
I am tired, but not really tired. I'm really tired of Android devices. It was amazing how many we saw.
Blasphemy!
Ah.
And that laugh you hear in the background is not Corey Streeter, who is on hiatus or vacation or something. He's just tired of us. We took him to CES. He doesn't want to see us anymore. We have Chris Parsons. You might know him as Blaze from Crackberry. So, Blackberry Defector. That's your new title.
Yeah. From Android Central.
And from Android Central. That's true.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. I don't even know where to begin. I've been trying to wrap up CES in my head for the past week, and I can't do it. There's just so much stuff.
Yeah, because it just, when you start thinking about it, that's when your mind just starts spinning, and you're like, wow,
I'm used
that
to,
really happened?
Yeah, I'm used to having multiple phones released in a day. I think we had 11 phones released in 24 hours on, what, three carriers? Maybe more than 11? All right, let's see if we can walk through it in our heads real quick. Let's start with AT&T, because those are actually the ones I missed. We skipped the AT&T Developers Conference like an idiot, because actually we had a meeting with Sprint. So you have the Inspire and the Infuse.
And the Atrix.
Hang on, let me get to that. So the Inspire and the Infuse, the Inspire is what? That's a 4.5-inch monster?
Yeah, that's a big HTC phone, I think.
4.5 inches, that's ridiculous. You have the Infuse, that's the Samsung one, correct? All right, the Samsung one is 4.5. See, I can't keep it straight. I need a big chart up here in my wall. I'm actually going to repaint my room with phone specs. You have the Shift, which was actually kind of not part of CES, but they announced it that morning. And that's a little 3.6-inch horizontal slider. I like it a lot. The review's up. Go read it. We'll talk about it in a minute. I think of the phones according to a press conference. So the Motorola press conference, we had the Zoom tablet, the 10-inch tablet. We had the Droid Bionic. We had the Click 2. And what am I forgetting?
Atrix.
Atrix, thank you. Atrix or Atrix 4G. Again, we'll get into that in a second. Let's see, Verizon. What do we have new at Verizon? We had the LG Revolution, which is the Optimus 2X for Verizon. We have the Samsung LTE 4G smartphone,
which I'm just gonna call that Samsung phone.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not the official name. They don't have an official name supposedly, but that's what they're calling it, and it's so ridiculous. But actually, when you see the demo video on the thing, it said Galaxy S, so go figure. You have the Thunderbolt. That's the HTC LTE device. And then there was one more. What was it? No. There were only three phones at Motorola, because I kept thinking there were four.
We're on Verizon now.
Right. That was all Verizon. I think that was it.
See, I get lost even just hearing you talk about it.
It was painful. And then, the Sony Ericsson Arc. How about that? Which is a good phone. How about that? Like, all of a sudden, it's like 2 o'clock on Thursday, and somebody says, hey, have you heard anything about this Sony Ericsson thing? I'm like, no. So every time I ask them, you know, they said there wasn't anything going on. And sure enough, there's a press conference at like 5 o'clock, so we sent Dieter over to it, and I think Renee went with him. And they had the Green Hornet. So they had the car and Seth Rogen and Cho? He was in Star Trek. I can see him. I can't believe I don't remember his name.
Leonard Nimoy?
No.
He's Star Trek.
Oh, and the chat rooms fail too. Seriously, guys? Nothing.
What was he in?
He was Sulu in Star Trek, in the new Star Trek.
Yeah. The new Star Trek.
No, Jay that's Chowler, not his name.
Say it. Ryan Reynolds?
No.
No.
They're telling you it's Jay Chow.
No, it's Jay Chow. Chow.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, it was Harold from Harold and Kumar. That's not his name. John. John Chow. John.
John Jay.
We're saying. Getting there. Brad Pitt, no, definitely not it. So, was anybody keeping track? How many phones was that?
No, we weren't keeping track. Oh, I didn't know we'd be quizzed on
John Cho, thank you. That was it. God, chat room is just worthless. You guys are out of practice. We take 1 week off, and the chat room is just, oh.
I'm surprised we didn't get Bruce Lee in there.
I know. I'm so disappointed. So that's like 23 phones, I think, literally, you know, announced in the span of 24 hours, just about. It was just, oh, it was painful. So we have dual core. We have a lot of dual core Tegra 2. That was another big one. Dieter and I went to that press conference. Tegra 2 is going to be everywhere. It is a big deal. It will be a bigger deal once we actually get to use it, but it's a big deal. So you have that. You have LTE. That is another huge deal. And by the way, I know I've been saying it for a week now, but I can't say enough for Verizon's LTE coverage in Vegas. Like, it was just awesome. So I had, you know,
Agreed. The
laptop USB stick. And, oh, it was beautiful.
Other than the fact that I had to use a PC all week.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
It was fine. It was, in fact, it was better than fine. It was as good as it gets. And, in fact, I have never uploaded files to for podcasts and whatnot as fast as I had. There.
So here's what I'm worried about. We're going to get LTE on these phones now, and it's not going to quite be the same experience.
Well, it's
the
bandwidth, too. I mean, I saw it somewhere at 906 connections LTE dies per tower. So, and I'm sure Verizon knows. You know, they've got all this figured out. You're going to get good speeds with it. You know, maybe not 50 megs a second.
Yeah, like I don't think you're going to be getting laptop speeds on there.
Yeah.
Plus, there's not a whole lot of people that are sitting on that network right now.
Right. Well, in Vegas, there were.
Where'd you get that number, by the way? 906.
You know, I'm going to tell you later because I don't want to say it right now, but I do know where I saw it. I think with their amount of spectrum, they calculated 906. Remind me when we're done.
Okay, so let me just kind of, just for sake of comparison, probably should just throw it out there. So the average cell phone, this, and granted, I'm going way back, but the on the analog side, you had about 1,600 channels per tower. And when you took a look at, of course, you needed a send and receive pair. So you had about 800 pairs that you could use. 800, and then you had about, so half of that. So you had 400 pairs that you could use. And then there's approximately 50 then channels in there for control channels. So each cell on a tower has about 50 voice channels, and then you multiply that by the number of cells that are on the tower, and there you go. So it's not bad when you think about it that way, that they can get almost 1,000.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
How about vertical, though, Mickey? So I was on, what, the 11th floor, and what floor were you on, Mickey?
27.
And which one of us had an LTE connection in the hotel?
Hey, mine worked, right?
Did it? Oh, it was just slower?
Yeah, slower. Yeah, it was 12 down and like 3 up.
Oh my God, that's pathetic, dude. I had like 28. I got 28 down and like 6
whatever.
Up.
Whatever, that's as fast as anyone.
We are so spoiled. We really are so spoiled. And then right in the middle of CES, I get an email from my wife. And all I see is LTE in Pensacola in the subject line. I'm like, oh. So I'm getting LTE here in Pensacola. It's beautiful. It's not on yet. It's a week now. I'm starting to, you know, tap my fingers a little bit. But it's coming.
That's until the Air Force boys show up at your door and tell you, guess what? You don't get it.
Yeah, I'm actually right next to the airport, so that could well be. So for everybody keeping score at home, I will have LTE before I have T-Mobile 3G. Just like to point that out.
Nice.
So any phone you guys want to talk about in particular? Because Mickey and I got to go play with them.
I think you better talk about the Atrix before people's heads explode.
Yeah, that's pretty up there.
Okay, so here's the deal about the Atrix. It is, and I need to pull up these specs we had today, actually, because they're really, really good. For all intents and purposes, I mean, these are all just black slab phones, okay? You play with one of them, it's kind of like playing with all the others. They all kind of look...
All right, Jerry, you got to turn off your sounds.
Yeah, who was that?
Yeah, that one was me, but the other ones weren't. The other ones were BlackBerry sounds.
Not me.
Not me.
Not me. Well, anyway.
We're coming from Jerry's mind. Whatever.
So for all intents and purposes, we have a lot of Black Slab phones. There's nothing really differentiating many of them, unless you look at the Click 2 and its keyboard, but whatever. All right, so looking at the specs on the Atrix 4G, dual-core Tegra 2, Android 2.2, 5-megapixel camera in the back. I believe it has front-facing. Can't remember. But the thing about the Atrix, it has a gigabyte of RAM, not just 512, but a full gig of RAM, and here's why. It comes with a couple... Well, it doesn't come with the accessories. You'll have to buy them. It comes with a laptop. It comes with a folio, basically. You plug the phone into the back of it, and it powers the laptop, and will run... it will run Firefox, full Firefox 3.6, not, some half-baked mobile... but not a mobile version, not some weird build. It's full Firefox. You get full flash support, and it powers the browser. I'm not convinced I need that yet, but if you think back to, the Folio days, it seemed like a good idea at the time, so we'll have to see. It also has available an HD dock. It's like a desktop dock, and then you plug it in and you plug a monitor into the thing, and it's same deal. So the phone basically becomes a tiny little computer, which of course they are.
Well, it's the same as my netbook in a smaller package.
Exactly. And then it doesn't just put up the phone UI. It's called WebTop. And it's actually pretty cool to see if you haven't watched all the videos and, if you haven't seen ours, especially go watch ours, right? But it's a cool little UI. So you can have Firefox running. You can, place and receive phone calls. You can still do texts. You can still do just about everything you can do. Plus you get a full web browser, and I'm sure somebody's going to hack some other cool stuff into this.
It's pretty badass.
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty badass. Do I need it? I don't know. I mean, even me traveling, it's I'm going to have a full laptop with me anyway. So we'll see. Another big question, and chat room's freaking out about it right now, is will the bootloader be locked? Don't know. But so, as with all these phones, right? They're gonna hack them. Another big question.
I'm kind of curious they gave it Firefox and not Google Chrome.
Well, yeah, that was a little weird, but whatever.
And I wasn't there, and I didn't get to talk to anybody about it. But what it looks like is it's actually running some kind of tiny Linux embedded shell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes Firefox perfect sense. Firefox runs great on lightweight Linux installations.
There you go. Chat room's asking about sideloading. Don't know. We'll just have to see. In fact, I should have thought and dived into the settings. But here's the thing about a lot of what we saw. None of it was finished. The only phone I think that was anywhere close to being finished was the Click 2, because that's going to be out to the 16th or the 19th, forget which. But everything else is pretty much not ready yet. So we'll see. I really hope AT&T turns on sideloading. It's just ridiculous. As much as I love the sideloading Wonder Machine, and Jerry did a great job with it, we shouldn't have to have something like that. They need to clean that up.
At this point, it shouldn't be something that they can go ahead and remove. It should just be automatically there. It's part of the OS. Just leave it in there. So
you can't release a phone like the Atrix and then keep the company policy that Android is new and it's scary and it's not safe.
Right.
And that was AT&T's reason all along for it. So policy should change, I hope.
Let's talk about this one. They're calling it the Atrix 4G. So in the middle of this whole thing, AT&T says, oh, hey, by the way, we have 4G. And everyone kind of looked up from their computers and were like, yeah, okay, that's no, you don't, but whatever. Anybody? 4G or not?
It's not 4G. It's only 4G by a definition that was just recently introduced, and that definition seems like it was made an exception just for marketing reasons for some reason, but it's not 4G. So in my opinion, it's not 4G.
I try to stay out of the 4G wars, but I'm going to go ahead and put my foot in to get smashed. I don't care what you call it. You give me 7-8 megabytes per second down like I get in DC on a T-Mobile phone and a latency around 40-50 milliseconds. I don't care what you call it. It's better than what I've seen from Sprint.
The problem is we've gone from you know, 3G was third generation technology. I mean, basically that's what it
meant.
So you've gone from iteration of technology to speed, and you know, we're talking different things here. So they've kind of blurred the lines. You know, look, if you get good speeds where you are, call it whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
I guess. But it's confusing for people, and that's the way they want it. We sat through T-Mobile's entire press conference. In fact, we should have mentioned the 7-inch Dell tablet earlier, didn't? And the Optimus Black.
But I'm going to be all over that.
But T-Mobile's entire, like literally 95% of T-Mobile's press conference was talking about 4G and backhaul and HSPA Plus and how they're going 21 megabits per second to 42. And we were all ready to stab ourselves before the T-Mobile commercial walked up there.
And then
we were ready to direct hate somewhere else.
When it comes down to it, you could say that it's 42.2. You could say it's 26.6, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Everything that they say, no matter what it is, it's all theoretical anyways. Nobody out there is hitting that kind of speed on their actual device. Once you get a certain amount of people on those towers, everything's just going to slow down and essentially, you're just going to be back down to what it was normally. I mean, you may see a little bit of a peak, but it's not that much of a peak. I mean, it really comes down to, is your internet connection fast? Yes, it's the fastest that I can get. Okay, then you're good. You know,
I hadn't tested AT&T in a while, and I did it last night. I think I tweeted it out, and I was getting like 2 and 3 down. That's not bad here.
No, for a phone, that's fine. Yeah. We don't need any faster unless you're tethering.
Yeah, exactly.
Mickey, I know how you feel about all this. Do you have anything you want to add?
Not really. I don't find just by boosting the speed of your network a little bit is a reason to say that you've got a new generation of network. The next generation should be the next type of technology that you roll out, not just by rolling out a speed bump. I mean, the HSPA protocol has got a lot of room to grow. I mean, you could even take it up to, it's close to 100 megs a second if you want, but it's not, that doesn't mean that it's the next generation. And so for them to come out and say they've got a 4G network, I don't really buy. They can say they've got 4G speeds or they've got speeds that are comparable with today's 4G networks, and I'm okay with that. But they realize it doesn't matter. No one understands it. What was that study that came out this week and said that like 25% or 40% of people think that the iPhone 4 is a 4G phone?
Yes.
Because that's just what that's how they perceive
they marketed it.
Exactly. So it's not going to mean a whole lot to anybody for them to say they've got a 4G network, but I think they jumped the gun with what they did, because now when they roll out LTE next year, or when they start to do their test markets this year, they don't have a different way to differentiate it. I mean, they can say, well, we've got an LTE network. People are going to go, okay, what is that? Well, it's 4G. Well, I thought you had 4G. We do, but this is 4G. What we had before was 4G. You know,
this,
I mean,
it's 4G plus.
Now, and then Verizon said it best. We should have just called ours 6G, because really, you know. So anyway, that's kind of my thought on it. Is it doesn't? I don't think what they did was right, but I also don't think that T-Mobile should have called what they have 4G either. So WiMAX is a stretch. LTE makes sense, but LTE Advanced is really where it's at, and we're not going to see that for 4 years. So,
the Droid Bionic kind of got short shrift here, mainly because it wasn't ready and they didn't really let us play with it. Like, they showed it to us. It's a black slab. It'll be fast. It's dual core. It's LTE, whatever. It might not be dual core. I don't remember. You know, so we got a lot of phones that are like high-end phones right now, but not necessarily kind of next-gen. So the Atrix is really cool. The Zoom. What do you think about the Zoom, Mickey? You got to see it over the week, right?
Well, so here's the deal with the Zoom. It's as a piece of hardware running Honeycomb. It's very nice. I mean, I can't fault it for that. I'll give you the glory of talking about all the things that it's got wrong with it. but the one thing that when I first picked it up, and I was expecting something lighter, and I know that, you know, the iPad for many people is fine, but I find it to be too heavy, and I'm not a fan of using it because it weighs a pound and a half. And I was hoping to find something, you know, with these newer tablets that was lighter. And I know a 7.5-inch or 7 or 5-inch screen is going to be lighter because of the sheer size. I'm wondering how much lighter we can get than, you know, when you have a 9 to 10 inch tablet, because the piece of glass and the batteries, and even if you put really nothing else in it, it's still a piece of glass with a back on it. I mean, aluminum is light, but that adds a little bit of weight. So use carbon fiber. It helps, you know, marginally. So I'm wondering what they're going to be able to do, if we're going to have to come up with some other sort of screen technology that isn't a piece of glass, you know, that will allow us to have the same type of interaction with it. Because that was my issue with it, was just the weight of it. But from what I saw, it's the first Android tablet that I've seen that actually impressed me and really was kind of exciting. The rest of the rest of them out there just feel like everything else. It's a Me Too game,
and that's as much because of Honeycomb as anything else, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like the appropriate operating system for it, and it's kind of like getting a netbook and seeing XP on it when you really want Windows 7, and that's what I feel like how the current generation of tablets is. And so Honeycomb adds quite a bit. So I'll let you talk a little bit more about the other things with it, because you actually got to see them announce it.
Yeah, let's talk about Honeycomb for a second. So you've all seen the video by now, I hope. Here's something else you need to go watch is Engadget's interview with Matias Duarte. You know, formerly of Palm, now with Google. And if you watch that, he talks about how he came to Google right about the time they were getting ready to ship Gingerbread. So he didn't get too much to do with Gingerbread. Honeycomb's his baby. And one big thing that he says in that interview that I don't think people have picked up on enough is that, you know, he says, look, there's no reason that Honeycomb won't be on phones. That, you know, this is the UI going forward. The big metaphor was blowing down buildings to make new ones, you know, blowing up city blocks to raise new buildings. I think that's the direction we're going to see phones going. So if you're in love with Android as it looks today, I think you're going to have to get over that, you know, probably in the next 6 months.
Things are going to change.
Yeah, things are going to change a lot.
I got a code editor. It'll still look ugly on mine.
But as far as the Zoom goes, I mean, it was interesting. They didn't let us play with it too much because, again, it's not ready. They showed us a lot of demo video of it doing what it will do, but not the actual interactions. But here's the thing about the Zoom. So it's an LTE device that is not launching with LTE. It's going to launch in the first quarter sometime. You know, so that's January, February, March. But when it launches, it will be a 3G device. It will be upgradable to LTE, but it's a hardware upgrade. Only they didn't. Yeah, sad trombone. They didn't know really how it's going to be upgradable, or they couldn't tell us. You're going to have to take it somewhere or send it somewhere, or somebody will come to your house and fix it and make you breakfast. I don't know. But that's not good. The other weird thing is that the micro SD, it was a micro SD or full SD, I forget, but it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work when you go buy the thing. And again, really?
That's probably a Honeycomb issue. It's probably just not ready in the code yet.
Yeah, no, and that's a software issue, but still. Really?
I agree. Keep it under wraps until it works.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
You know,
I'm confused as to how it's going to work. Like when people go to swap out their hardware, whatever the case may be, like, you know, like you said, do you bring it into the shop? Does somebody come to your house? Like, what pieces are they exchanging?
Right.
In order to even get it upgraded to 4G at that point. So
I don't know. And it really was unfair of us to try to ask the people at this press conference, you know, because they have people who have been taught how to demo the thing, and that's kind of it, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're not people who know the answers to these things, so you can't hold it against them, though we certainly did. And it's frustrating. I think it's going to be an exciting thing once we get it. I'm still not sold on the 10-inch size. I still like 7 inches, but I think Honeycomb will probably work just fine on a 7-inch tablet. Can't wait to see if it runs on the Nook Color. So that's the Zoom. The Zoom compared to the Playbook, I don't know, Blaze, you've seen, you know, have you seen the Playbook in action yet? Have you actually touched it?
Not actually touched it. There's
actually, I hung out at the BlackBerry booth for a while, and Dieter and I were standing there, like, damn, what are all these people doing there? And actually, we were going to look and see what was going on, and who walks by me but Tim Bray from Google, the big Google developer advocate.
I would have swooned.
Oh, I know. I was like, hang on, Dieter, I'll be right back. I think that's nicest guy. Really, really nice. So we talked for a second. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm about to go over to the BlackBerry thing to see Olivia Wilde, you know, 13 from House.
Oh, God, yeah. I would have swooned.
Yes. Very, very beautiful woman.
So, I don't know. There's a lot of things with the playbook right now that don't seem to be completed, much like the Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of wishy-washy about what is actually going on with it. And I mean, when you look at the system, you look at QNX. QNX looks great. It was a great acquisition for RIM, and putting it on the playbook is obviously it's smart because you're not going to get the BlackBerry OS on there. But when you take a look at the landscape now, I mean, you have the Galaxy S Tab that's out there. You have the iPad 2 coming. You know, it's kind of questionable as to how well it's going to do. And RIM's marketing is kind of confusing me as well when it comes to the playbook, because they say that they introduced it as the very first enterprise tablet, but their main focus seems to be on, okay, you can do multitasking with it, you can do, you know, HD video and stuff. Those are all consumer things. I don't know anybody in the enterprise environment that's sitting back and, you know, watching 1080p video on their device while they're doing business stuff. I mean, that's just not how it is. So, and I don't know, it seems like there's still a lot of unfinished stuff there that needs to be worked out. And I mean, like I said, the Zoom may have some software sides that aren't worked out, but the playbook still doesn't necessarily seem to have a focus to me. Like, what was it? There was an article that came out today by Al Sacco, I think. He said that, you know, this is why the playbook shouldn't be brought towards enterprise customers, or this is why enterprise customers aren't going to adapt it, is because the connectivity options aren't there, the security options aren't there. You need a VPN and Wi-Fi in order to go ahead and connect to a BlackBerry Enterprise server. Well, that doesn't seem like something that's going to go towards any sort of enterprise market. So I don't know. I think the Zoom and the iPad too are just going to basically bury the playbook in the end. I mean,
well, but things are about to get even more weird because we're expecting the Palm Pad, or whatever it's going to be called.
Yeah,
here in less than a month, February 9th, Palm is having, or HP, excuse me. Never going to get used to that. They're going to have an event in San Francisco. And then we're expecting HTC to bring a tablet in Mobile World Congress, like that next week. Dieter has to go to San Francisco for that and then fly out to Spain. And I'm going to fly out to Spain that week. And actually, that Monday, I got to go to New York for whatever Sprint's doing. Have no idea what that's going to be. Sprint's having an event with David Blaine. It'll be magical. And I don't know what it is. Everybody, you know, immediately said iPhone, Sprint iPhone.
Everybody look, because I pull a rabbit out of this hat.
No. Yeah, no, it's not going to be the Sprint iPhone. I mean, we got invited, and it's one thing, like Dieter got invited too, so it's a little ambiguous for which sites we got invited for, but Fandroid got one too, so I'm sure it's something Android.
I think it's going to be more than a phone if we're going to talk Sprint. It's
They better not talk LTE or WiMAX to me for 2 hours, or I'm going to lose it.
Well, I can keep talking WiMAX to you for two hours. I mean,
they're going to talk WiMAX. Yeah, they're going to talk WiMAX, but if they do it for 2 hours, I'm going to lose it.
I hope they do it for three.
Well, I know where the bars are in that part of town. Yikes.
Everyone's iPhone on Sprint. I don't think that's happening soon either.
I think it's more likely that we see a 4G-enabled Windows phone before we see the iPhone.
Yes, yeah. Yes. No, the definitely. iPhone's not going to want that honking radio in there.
No, it's not happening.
What else from CES? What are we missing? What are we forgetting?
The G Slate. Can't talk new tablets with Honeycomb without talking about the G Slate.
That's true. That is the which one? That was LG.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't see it.
No one did.
Yeah.
Well, all the videos that are on YouTube of the UI are from T-Mobile about the G Slate.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's about, I think, all anybody knows.
and then there's the Dell 7.
Yes, and that looks neat, too.
Yeah. Again, if that had come out 6 months ago, that would have been more interesting, I think.
Well, no, 7 inches, Integra 2. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the way that sounds better than any of the other offerings.
And I like Dell's UI. I think, what do they call it?
Yes, Stage.
Stage, yeah. I like it.
With the right processor pushing it, I think that's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, everybody's bringing something to the table. And it's nice to see AT&T getting on board finally, too.
Yep. Very nice.
And they kind of have to, because now that Verizon has the iPhone. Yes, Verizon has the iPhone. And you know what? I'm fine with that. You know, whatever. It's still the iPhone. It hasn't changed. I love seeing all these new hands-ons, like, hands-on with the Verizon iPhone.
Yeah. Like, okay. So, and everybody says, why wasn't Steve Jobs there? I mean, it's just one more carrier out of the 96 that it's on.
No, Steve Jobs wasn't there because it was Verizon's event.
Yeah,
That was the, you know, consolidation to Verizon, was letting them host the event. You know, they don't get to put their logo on it. They don't get to put Bing on it or VCast or any of that crap. So they got to have the event. It's, you know, it's pretty cut and dry.
The only advantage they have the hotspot included.
Right. So,
but that's coming to the AT&T version. And so,
Have we said enough about the Sprint thing? I mean, we only talked about it for a second. I mean, there was just so much speculation about what it's going to be. I don't know. I think you guys are right. I think it's going to be more than just a phone.
It's game-changing, whatever it is.
It's magical.
Probably say, we're going to charge you $3 more a month.
Maybe they'll drop the $10 fee.
Is it wrong that I don't think anything about hopping up to New York like on a Monday morning for this stuff anymore? Like, I'll be up there by lunchtime. Really weird. What else? Vibrant 4G. Is possibly coming. We said Timo News got a leak on that. I don't know. Here, that's kind of weird.
Hold this can of worms, Phil.
No, let's get into it now. Let's do it. So Android Spin got a tip, and we got the same tip from the same guy. Supposedly, and I still laugh every time I think about this. Supposedly, Samsung doesn't want T-Mobile to release Froyo for the Vibrant, because it would take away from Vibrant 4G sales. And we didn't write about it, because, frankly, it doesn't make sense on a number of levels, and it sounds like sour grapes. I have two problems with the story. One is, I don't know who the hell this guy is sending it to us. Could be totally on the level, could be the damn CEO for all I know, but I don't know. It's single source stuff, right? Somebody sent us something, and that's it. Totally anonymous, don't know. The other thing is, it doesn't make sense. You know, Samsung doesn't sell phones directly to you and me. Samsung sells them to T-Mobile. T-Mobile then sells them to us. I think the Samsung engineers, more than anybody, want to get Froyo out the door on T-Mobile.
God, Verizon, yes.
And AT&T and Sprint. Why, you know, why we still don't have them, I don't know. I have no idea. It's the weirdest thing. But it's not like Samsung doesn't want to or can't put Froyo out. They've done it in Europe. They've done it in Canada. You know, so saying that they don't want to do it is just ridiculous and just wrong, because they absolutely want to do. In fact, it's irresponsible to say that. And the other thing is, I have no idea who this source is, right? And he and I emailed back and forth a few times yesterday, gave us permission. I actually posted the entire tape in the forums. So we have a link in the show notes if you guys want to go read that. If you haven't yet, I suggest you do. So the whole thing is just weird. No, well, the evidence is not in line with the tip.
There is no evidence in line with this tip. You've got four carriers out of however many are in the world and carry the Galaxy S that constantly meddle on their carrier, and I'm going to climb on a soapbox. They dig in, they meddle with the software, they force this in, they force that in, they make it so you can't do this or that. Their phones don't work with Froyo. Everyone else's does. Where's the evidence lead you with that?
The common denominator here is the carriers.
Right.
Is the U.S. carriers. It's been released in Canada. It's been released in the U.K. and in Europe. Right? I mean, that is the common denominator. I don't think there's some big conspiracy among them. I mean, it's odd that nobody's released it yet. How many months ago was it that we got that leaked Froyo build for the Captivate?
Oh, yeah.
That slapped on them late some Friday night. But, you know, we know it's out there. Why it hasn't been released, I have no idea. I'm sure they waited till after the holidays, because you don't want to do it right before the holidays, right? But it's, you know, it's weird and bizarre. I don't think it's some big conspiracy on Samsung's part. And frankly, it's irresponsible to say so.
Right. The carriers in Canada don't mess with the phones near as much as what the carriers in the U.S. do. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they may have three or four apps on there, but they're, you know, it's nothing. Those the apps that the Canadian carriers actually put on are somewhat useful. Instead, in the U.S., you just get a bunch of garbage that nobody wants. You just try and get rid of it as soon as possible. So, I mean, like you said, the common denominator is carriers. So,
at this point, and Jerry and I talked about this week, root your phone, go put a custom ROM on it.
That's right.
If you really just cannot wait any longer, go do it. Absolutely. We'll help you out in the forums.
Especially with a Galaxy S, it's so easy to put it back the way it was when you bought it. Just do it.
Yeah. You know, but there's not some giant conspiracy. Don't talk about class action lawsuits. It's a waste of breath. It's a waste of time. You know, comment our stories. You know what? I know they read them. I know people from Samsung and Verizon read them. I know people from the carriers read them. We know all these people. Comment in the stories. Comment in the forums. Absolutely. You know, class action lawsuits are stupid. Over something like this, they're stupid. You know, we're not going to write story after story about how Froyo is not out yet. I don't know why it's out. I wish it was. I really, really do. But, you know, we're not going to spin our wheels. It will be out when it's out. There. That's that.
Done.
So there's this vibrant 4G phone that might be coming. That's where that started.
It runs on 24 megabits per second. HSPA plus.
4G. 4G.
I need a hot towel. Hey, you know what we didn't talk about a minute ago? I'm going to hop back to CES for a minute. We didn't talk about, speaking of plus, is what made me think about it. We didn't talk about Super AMOLED Plus.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I want to see that.
It looked pretty good. I'll need to spend more time with it, I guess. But here's the deal. Whereas Retina display has more subpixels, each pixel is made up of subpixels. And right now, the phone in your hand likely has 8 subpixels per pixel. Super AMOLED Plus has 12. That's the difference.
But how does it look in the sunlight?
Don't know. Strangely enough, they don't let us go out. Yeah, whenever you're in Vegas, you know, the whole point is to keep you indoors, keep you inside wherever you are.
And drunk.
Yeah. and they pump oxygen into the place, and so no, I haven't seen them outside yet. It'll be interesting, but it's nice to see screen tech kind of evolving even more.
Well, yeah, I mean,
battery tech up there too.
Yeah, that would be good.
You look at from the Nexus or the Incredible to the Galaxy S or the Nexus S. That's a big jump in screen technology right there, and yeah. It looks like this one's going to be even a bigger jump. So I can't wait to see it on phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should look sharp.
Did you get to see it, Mickey?
Which one? Oh, the new screen you're talking about.
Yes.
Sorry, I was thinking about the Nexus S, daydreaming about the curved screen.
Hey, we can talk about that. We got one now.
Yeah, I saw it. I use an iPhone occasionally as well, and so I'm comfortable with the, you know, what the new screens are going to look like. The one thing I find is, you know, overall, it's more than just some of these pieces. It's the overall experience, and I think that even with the current displays, yes, the newer screens look nicer, but I still think the current displays, the 854 by 480 screens, still look darn good on Android devices. So I'm not overly like, oh my gosh, you got to do it. I mean, for the iPhone as a comparison, when you went from the screen that we had on it to the one that's right now, I mean, it was a huge jump, you know. And these, the Super AMOLEDs, like I said, are nicer. They look good. They're clear, but you know.
Did you see the curved AMOLED screen that Samsung?
Sammy, yeah, no, that was very fascinating. In fact, I spent a couple of minutes playing with that. And then you see that light box that they had, mm-hmm. the transparent screens.
Yeah, it was like a three-dimensional weird transparent thing. Like, I cannot think of a practical application for either of those. But damn, it was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of found myself just looking at it, just thinking, this is the future. I don't know what that means, but this is the future that I'm looking at right here.
Hey, so real quick, I've got an Nexus S here now. Samsung sent me one to play with. And I'm perfectly happy with my Nexus 1.
Hmm.
I put a gingerbread build on it from XDA. Love it. Runs very, very nicely. And, you know, nobody, phone manufacturers and designers and everybody, I swear, if you put the home button all the way on the right on any other phone, I'm going to lose it. Just, I can't reach it. If I'm holding it left-handed, my poor stubby little thumbs can't get it.
Well, now, I want them to stick to something, but I like the home button on the far right.
Yeah. Do you hold your phone on your left hand or your right?
I hold my phone in my right hand and just type with my thumb.
Yeah, no, right hand's fine, and maybe I'll have to change. I don't know.
I know with the search button on the far right, I always end up long pressing it, and then everything freezes while voice actions pops up.
Ooh, I haven't tried that yet. Yeah. But no, I'm running it on the right. What version am I running? Let me look it up real quick. I'm running it's the one with a little, it's not even dot anything. Gingerbread V.20. I don't know who makes this. Let me open it up and see, because I want to pimp them. Micromod 777. That's what I'm using. So nicely done, sir. I like it. It's running very, in fact, if I'd known it runs this well, I would have taken it to Vegas with me.
That's the one I should have downloaded. The one I grabbed ended up turning my screen all pink. All the stuff, all the colors are pink. Like the boot up screen is pink and icons are pink. And I'm like, God.
I'm waiting on CyanogenMod. I mean, I know they're working on it and it's coming, but where is it? I'm gonna file a class action lawsuit. It should be here by now. Jeez. Nobody bothers them. Man. What else do you guys want to talk about?
The new Nexus S. While we're speaking about Nexus S.
I got no idea what this thing is. No clue.
I don't.
Slightly different radio, maybe?
I don't think it's what Engadget thinks it is. It's not an updated HSPA plus T-Mobile phone. Probably just a European phone that they're getting FCC approval for, so they could use it here unlocked if you wanted to.
Canadian?
I don't think so.
No.
I was fine with it, just showing off the Gingerbread 2.4 on there, until they ended up coming out and saying that it had a totally different model number. That's what kind of threw me off. I'm like, what?
Then again,
the 2.4 thing, I mean, that could be anything. I've seen 2.4 in our server logs for a long time now.
Yeah, so. And the ARC has a version of 2.4 on it, which Sony claims was a misconfiguration, but obviously.
Again, I mean, that's, give me 30 seconds and we change it in the build prop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing the video from Germany with 2.4 on the Nexus, if you look at the baseband, it is a new model number. It is a different phone.
Yeah.
So, you know, what it is, I really think it's just 3G for the rest of Europe, but I guess we'll see one day.
AT&T version? No.
Yeah. God, I want it to be, but, you know, there's just, I even had to ask Mickey. I had to break out the big guns, and I don't know, something's missing there. They're not telling us everything.
Yeah.
It's not clear.
I tell you, I know I said before, if there was an AT&T version, that I would go buy it in a heartbeat, but I'm not convinced I would do that now. Because even just this early Gingerbread build, you know, and it's just AOSP built off Chris Sawyer's, it runs great on this thing, and I'm perfectly happy with it, so I'm going to have to think long and hard, maybe. The Atrix, on the other hand, that's another story. I'm going to use an upgrade on that, I think.
Yeah, I'll be getting an Atrix. Whether it comes from Bell or whether I have to order it from AT&T, I'll get one.
What else? All right, we bitched about Samsung and that whole thing and how I don't believe any of it. That's kind of it. Yeah, the Acclaim got Froyo, so by the way, Samsung does release Froyo updates in the United States.
And they announced that even Virgin Mobile's getting Froyo.
Right. So, again, they're coming. Rogers Captivate got Froyo. 2.2. The Fastnet got a maintenance update to DL09. That's been pushing out for a week now, actually. Droid Pro, I think, just got one, too. They announced today. That's kind of it. Any software you guys want to talk about? So we got that Vevo app, V-E-V-O, that's teamed up with YouTube to...
It makes me feel so old.
I know it does. Oh, man. So it makes it easy to watch music videos, and I pulled it up, and I didn't know, like, any of the most popular whatever.
Well, don't feel bad. I didn't know any of the most popular either, but So it's an interesting little app because they have extra content. Like, it's not just the videos that they, you know, acquired from YouTube. Like, they have extra content on there, like, you know, behind
info about the artists.
Yeah, and behind the scenes interviews and stuff like that. So there is a little bit of added value to it. It's not just YouTube videos. And surprisingly, everybody's like, well, the licensing agreements and stuff like that. Well, Vivo's actually owned by the record company, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think the only record company that's not involved with Vivo is Warner Music or something like that. So that's how they get all of the licensing content.
Yeah, then they have something even more evil under their belt planned, I'm sure.
Probably.
Let's see, Shazam, and speaking of music, Shazam and Spotify have teamed up. So Shazam is one of those apps. You hold your phone up to a speaker or whatever, it hears the music and tells you what the song is. Anybody actually use that?
I've used it a couple of times.
Yeah.
I only play music that I already know what it is, so.
That's kind of how I am.
My only interest there is with Spotify, and Spotify's seemingly been coming to the U.S. and Canada for years now and still hasn't shown up, so.
Google Translate got an update, and this is actually pretty interesting. So now it kind of has real-time conversation translation. So you say something into the phone, and it translates it, and then you pass it to the person you're talking to, and then it will translate what they say. Right now it only works in English and Spanish, but coincidentally, I'm going to Spain in a month, so this could be very helpful.
Neat story here. If you know somebody that knows Spanish but is an English speaker, it works really well. But I know somebody that's a native Spanish speaker, and it does not work very good at all. Same phrase, same words. You can tell that the people who wrote it are not native speakers. That's something they'll have to work on.
My daughter was asking me today, when you go to Spain, will you speak Spanish? I said, yeah, a little bit. I know how to say witch in Spanish, a bruja. And she has Dora Spanish, so I'm going to go to Spain with my Dora Spanish.
GT Porsche Carrera in the chat room just brought up a good point. He tried it with a friend from Mexico, and it worked really well. The person I tried it with was from Spain. They were from Adora. Maybe they made it work with more of a Mexican tint to the Spanish. That could be it, too.
Could well be.
It's not backwards compatible. He messed it all up.
And now they're saying it's the Castilian accent. Okay, they know more than I do. Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep.
No, we're not doing anything with your pants. Leave it to the chat room. Is that it for the news? We done with the news?
Yeah, I think we covered everything.
Yeah, that's good enough, I think. You want to do some voicemails and emails? One voicemail this week. Slow week back.
Good evening, guys. Well, it's Mel from the Midwest, and this is for Android Central. You guys continue to do an awesome job. I have a question. I've got an Evo 4G. Love the device. I love that hotspot feature. It goes on and off whenever I want to. But I have a little question about Google Calendar. I've got a couple of Google Calendars, a couple of calendars on my Google Calendars. One is U.S. holidays, and the other is another calendar. And for a while, they appeared on my phone, but I must have changed some sort of a setting so they are not on my phone. And I really would like them, you know, all of those events to be on my phone, because I'm rarely at a computer and use the phone, you know, all day to book appointments, etc. So if you can help me figure out which setting I unchecked or something so that all of those holidays, etc. would appear on my phone, that would be marvelous. And thanks. Keep up the great podcast. And, man, there's going to be so many great new devices this year. Can't wait. Have a great day.
All right, so what Mel was asking was he's trying to figure out, he had some calendar issues. Remember that now, Phil?
No.
Okay, so he's got a bunch of calendars on his phone, one of which is like U.S. calendars, right? So, and they're not there anymore. And someone in the chat room, I think, has explained it. What he has to do is he has to go into the settings calendar and then pick the calendars that he wants to display. So it sounds like he may have maybe unchecked that or something. I'm not sure. Any other thoughts on why a calendar would not show up, something that you've subscribed to?
No.
I can't think of anything other than the settings, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, without hearing, you know, exactly what it might be you're looking at, that's my best guess. It's just open it up, make sure the calendar you want to see is visible.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what I was saying about Mel's voicemail, if he downloaded, like, say, another third-party calendar app or anything like that, maybe that went and screwed everything up on his regular calendar app.
Very well could be. A matter of fact, anything that does IMAP push through Gmail and also, you know, pulls calendar data might have been able to change that. So, yeah, there's another possibility, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Check the settings. That's about all we can come up with at this point.
Let's do some emails, shall we?
We shall.
Certainly.
Joel writes, when we're using phones with dual-core processors, is each of the cores assigned one part of the phone's processing, i.e. UI, YouTube, games, or do both cores work at the same time on the same functions? Interesting question. So is one core dedicated to the display? Is one core dedicated to the radio?
I don't know if the Snapdragon in the Nexus S is this way, but I know the newer Snapdragon has a small area, you know, on the chip that handles like the radio interface layer and that kind of stuff. And, you know, the rest of the stuff is dedicated to the actual processor.
Mm-hmm.
But for true dual core processing, applications run in threads. Just because you're running one app doesn't mean it's just one space in memory. It's running a bunch of threads. And it, depending on how the operating system is written, it'll decide when to push each thread to each CPU core. And you have a clock cycle. And with a dual core processor, you can do two things in one clock cycle instead of one. There's no set goal. You know, I want this one to go here and this one to go there. I guess it could be written that way, but I don't think that'd be a very good idea.
Hmm.
I know that didn't answer that question very well at all, did it?
No. It did, but basically it's one of those, it comes down to one of those things that we don't necessarily know what they put into the processors and whether or not the software can actually make use of it.
We don't know how Android's going to be written to handle it yet either.
Yeah, exactly. True. Like, for example, if they created Android to go ahead and split up the processors, dedicate certain functions to one processor and split up the others, then it's going to split them up. But if not,
I hope
then
they didn't. But that's certainly possible.
Yeah.
Who wants the next one?
Let's see, Paul. We got it. With the recent explosion of tablets at CES 2011, it might be finally time to pull the trigger. I'd like to get a Wi-Fi only, no contract, somewhere around 10.1 inch Tegra 2 or equivalent, and obviously Android, with the possibility of dual booting into Ubuntu. Is there any recommendations of hardware that you guys would suggest?
I know when Jerry hears Ubuntu, I know one thing he's thinking of here.
The Arcos.
Yes.
It's the 70, I believe. It is built. The bootloader will accept and Arcos has already helped written it. There's a version of Linux that'll just drop right on it, and it'll boot up Linux, Android, or Migo. If you're really interested in running, you know, Linux or Migo as well as Android, look at the Arcos.
Yeah, and this isn't like running Ubuntu in some VM.
No, this is
actually running it.
Written on the disk.
Yeah.
That's cool that they put that together for you.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, it's pretty geeky. I'm glad to see somebody else is interested in it. I don't feel like such an outcast.
It's not like Sony where they're ripping out the other OS out of PS3s.
Right, and it's not something you have to hack in, so it should work pretty well right out of the box.
Nice.
All right, Mickey, this next one came from you, so I think you should read it.
Okay, it's from Martin. He says, I've been trying to jailbreak my HTC Evo 4G for a while now, and it hasn't been letting me. I've done unrevoked on the commuter with the phone connected, and I've tried to do right from the phone itself, but it would never allow itself to be broken. It would start to boot back up normally. Do you have any ideas as to why this may be doing this? And of course, I have never rooted in you before, G, so I did not, so that's why I thought it'd be good to talk about on this show.
It depends on the version of hardware and software you're running. The different root methods are built to work with certain, you know, certain versions of software and hardware. We have... And his the fellow's name is I Gots an Evo 4G. He is the Android Central, one of the advisors in the Evo forums, and he is like the little master of sorting this stuff out. He will show you or tell you exactly how to determine what you have and point you to the direction of what to download and run. And I'm sure that's the issue. If you have a certain version and try something for another version, it's just not going to work.
And I've had problems with Unrooked before with my Evo. In fact, my Evo just up and died. I can't even charge it anymore.
Wow.
So back to HTC, it has gone. And thank them for helping me out there.
Okay, I'll grab the next one here. Steven writes, in all the discussions on why OS upgrades take so long, there's never any explanation. It takes what it takes. Not good enough. Does Samsung have a part-time intern in the basement doing Froyo for the Galaxy S line? Does Verizon have some sort of policy requiring 30 days of testing? If it fails, they have to fix it and go another 30 days. Why don't the manufacturers tell us why the delay? Are they embarrassed? Is Samsung incapable of figuring out Froyo? Or is Froyo incompatible with the skin they have on Eclair? Why won't they tell us?
Well, we kind of covered that earlier with all of the Froyo updates were being pushed out. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, but it's worth getting upset about again.
Yeah, sure it is. And I just part-time intern in the basement. You know, that's hilarious. But with all the new stuff that Samsung is pushing out, I'm sure they don't have as many people working on the old Galaxy S phones as they did 6 months ago.
It kind of goes to the same question you have back when new platforms came out, right? When the iPhone first came out, when WebOS first came out, Windows Phone 7, you have a finite amount of time and a finite amount of people to get the job done. And sometimes you have to leave things behind.
Right.
I don't think they're leaving the U.S. behind. I think the carriers are still mucking about somehow. And that all four of them are doing it is really interesting. But no, I really do not blame Samsung. They've pushed it out, you know, on other continents in thousands and thousands of phones.
Samsung put out one bad update, what was it, for Bell or for Rogers,
right,
that bricked some phones and ate some SD cards. Samsung, you know, that they took the responsibility, don't download it anymore, here's a fix. What, 2 weeks later, they put out one that worked? What more do you want from Samsung? That's the same damn phone on a different carrier.
It's the cost of living in America.
There you go.
I don't know. Jeez.
Stay out of my country. You're not coming here. Get your Froyo elsewhere.
Linus writes, will the current LTE devices by by Verizon and the other worldwide carriers support some sort of SIM card for LTE? I haven't heard this addressed at all. Do you think that we will ever get to a place where LTE devices from AT&T and Verizon will be compatible with the change of a SIM? All right, so the way Verizon works now is you do actually have a SIM card that goes into it. So I have a Verizon SIM card. Actually, Marion from Engadget asked this at the Verizon press conference, and they said they gave some like 2-minute response that nobody understood. And then at the very end of it, they said, we will fully comply with all compatibility, blah, 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 blah. You know, that said, you know, look at what they're doing in the US, right? So the Droid Pro, the Droid 2 Global have a SIM card in them, and they're GSM compliant, but you can't run them on AT&T. You can't run them on T-Mobile, right, or at least without doing some serious hacking.
Yeah.
So I think you'll probably be able to, once they have LTE in Europe, it'll probably be able to work there, you know, with some sort of roaming agreement. But right now, no, I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. That Verizon and AT&T, each would love to see the other go out of business. They're not going to buddy up unless they're forced to.
So Decoy in the chat room asks if it's a micro SIM. No, it's a full mini SIM. It's a regular mini SIM that you find in majority of GSM devices today.
I colored mine pink, if that matters.
No, you didn't.
Ooh.
No, I didn't.
bubble busted.
Next one.
All right, fine. Leah writes, can I change the names of my file folders on my Evo from my computer? I know it's possible to do, but I just want to make sure it's safe to do, that it's not going to mess up anything if I change the names. For instance, my default for pictures that I've taken is called DCIM, which, of course, we know stands for what? Digital camera image. Then inside the folder is named 100 Media. It's very similar to my digital camera. However, since I use my Evo as a sort of jump drive, it would be easier to find things if I could relabel these folders and rearrange them, renaming DCIM to pictures, then creating subfolders for family, friends, contacts, or whatever. Well, based on the file structure, I would say probably not, unless you can figure out some way to remap things like where the camera saves the pictures. I would just assume that it would make another folder with that name. No?
Yep.
Yes?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Tested. We shot off an email direct to Leah because I didn't want her to, you know, her question had a little bit more to it about some other files and folders on her SD card, and I didn't want her to make a mistake. But the only folder names you can change are folders you created yourself. Anything else, if you change it, the next time an app needs, looks for data that's supposed to be somewhere, that folder name's changed, it'll just make a new one.
Then makes sense to me. You don't lose the information because you just simply renamed it, but it rewrites that folder to whatever. Well,
as far as the app's concerned, though, you've lost it.
Yeah, you won't be able to open it up and find it because it's not there.
You run Seismic and you change the folder on your SD card, the next time you start up Seismic, it's going to have to find all those profile pictures again.
I got one last email question right as we started the podcast, and I want to read it. Ray writes, there seems to be a lot more negativity in the last couple months on blogs, Android news sites, etc., about Android carriers, equipment, and updates. Do y'all sense the same thing, or is it just me? I'm an Android believer and bleed Android green and hate to see this happening. Do y'all have any ideas as to why? I really think it's the state of society we're in. And in fact, if you ask one cab driver that Dieter and I had last week, it's because computers are taking over our lives and the world was much better before.
I've met that guy.
The Skynet is coming.
Well, it's
my advice is to everybody just relax, enjoy this stuff, right? I mean, look, at the end of the day, they're just phones. And you know, the fact that we all get to do this podcast, the fact that I get to do this for a living is just utterly ridiculous, and I enjoy the hell out of it. And, you know, that we get to talk to you guys out there and help you guys just makes my day. And I'm going to shed a tear now, I think.
I'll shed one as two because I share the same sentiment.
I hate carriers. I ain't shedding anything.
You know, these things make our lives a little easier. They make them more fun. They make them so I can take a picture of my kid and share it with my family, you know, within 30 seconds. Don't take it quite so seriously.
I don't know. I think, you know, I agree with everything that you said, Phil, of course, but there's also, I think, basically, when it comes to Android in general, I think that a lot of people, you're probably seeing a lot more frustration is because of the sheer number of phones and stuff like that people are getting. Like, for example, if I go out and I buy an Atrix as soon as it comes out, and then a whole bunch of stuff gets announced at Mobile World Congress, whatever the case may be, that I can go out, that seemingly on paper looks better than my Atrix, well, people have signed up for 2 years contracts and so on and so forth. You know, if you're in Canada, you signed a 3-year contract, and that kind of frustrates people because they're seeing better and better, and people generally have the thought that, you know, they need the latest, the greatest, the best, and you know, that's not necessarily the case. Just enjoy what you got, and I think that's where a lot of frustration comes from.
I'm amazed that I'm still perfectly happy with this Nexus One. Not perfectly happy. I mean, it's got issues, right? It's got the weird multi-touch thing, and
but it's got a trackball.
But it has a trackball. It does have that. No, I mean, I'm waiting for like the one phone I have to have, and I haven't really had that since I bought this. I mean, just enjoy it. Yeah, these things cost a lot of money, and if you can buy them off contract, buy them off contract. Do not sign contracts with the carriers if you can avoid it.
And I've found that if you buy off contract and you like to jump on new phones as they come out, most of the time you can get 3/4 of your money back when you sell your other phone.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah, Mickey does that all the time.
I bought a Nexus S here, and after all said and done, I have $60 that came out of my pocket to get it. And that's because I sold something else.
I have no intentions on keeping the Nexus S that I have. As soon as the Aegis comes up, it's gone. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
If you have old stuff in your garage, sell it. If you have a child you don't want any longer, sell it. No, can't do that.
That's wrong. No.
I think that's evil.
I wasn't even going to say anything.
Just everybody relax. The updates will come. And you know what? If you're tired of waiting, root your phone. Go to the forums, root your phone, and put a ROM on it. It's not that tough. We'll walk you through it. We'll help you out.
It's true. That's a whole new adventure to it.
Yeah. And if you break your phone, we'll help you buy a new one.
No, you won't.
You won't break
There must phone. Be a mouse in your pocket with that Wii.
Don't say that. Everybody will be breaking their phones on purpose.
And with that, I'm going to stick a fork in it.
It's done.
It's done. Mickey?
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com or leave us a voicemail at 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222. You can also follow us on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill. Blaze is @BLA1ZE, and you can follow all of the writers over @AndroidCentral. The entire podcast and site brought to you by the Android Central store, found at store.androidcentral.com. Give us a call, 888-468-6158.
Okay, that's not me. That's not me. I'm sitting here holding my phone. That wasn't me.
No, that wasn't me.
Stop trying to convince me.
It's been a very, very kind of Thursday afternoon special kind of podcast. I feel a little warm and fuzzy, which could just be the beer, but I think we've made good progress toward convincing people they need to lay off on all the hate and the no.
No,
we didn't change a damn thing, did we?
No, it's fun to hate.
Oh, still though, I mean.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the stuff. It's out there, so.
It's stupid. I mean, these phones are more powerful than the computer I took to college.
It's because you're old.
Yeah.
That was an abacus, wasn't it?
We're all getting old. Everybody, that's it. Chris, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
We'll absolutely have you back again sometime. We'll have to decide who to kick off next time. We'll draw straws. Maybe it'll be me. I'll take the week off.
Take the week off. Me and Jerry and Mickey will run things.
I'm perfectly okay with that. Mickey, Jerry, thank you guys as always.
Well, thank you, Phil.
Chat room, thanks for nothing. I mean, thank you as always. Good to see you guys. Some of you guys, not all you guys. A few of you guys. Some of you guys I like. Some of you guys I don't. See you next week, everybody.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.